Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Colin Dana is a Western Cape head of disaster. We've spoken to Mr. Dana before this week, and we were anticipating that this is going to be a tough day. Good evening and welcome, and thank you so much for your time, Mr. Dana.
Hi, good evening, Pamela.
How was today?
Yes, it was a very difficult day in certain areas, specifically because we had quite a lot of flooding, and that was mostly on our sort of main roads. In one, we saw quite a lot of flooding. We saw damage to rail. We saw quite a bit of damage also on the N2 and a lot of outlying areas. And then, of course, in the city, probably didn't see as much rain as we were expecting, but, you know, we're thankful for that. But it was not an easy day.
Obviously, when we spoke, you know, there was a lot going on, and you were anticipating that there may be trouble today, as you are saying. How have, you know, efforts to try and get people assistance and those efforts been going so far? And I know today obviously must have given you a bit of setback.
Yes, it did. I mean, we sort of anticipated that. So there was quite a lot of, you know, when we had a bit of breathing space yesterday, we did quite a lot of preparatory work. But, you know, if you just think about the numbers, and I'm just looking at them now, you know, like having like 6,000 power interruptions in the Breda Valley and 4,000 people being affected in Betty's Bay with electricity, and, you know, the thousands of people that are homeless, it's just really difficult to prepare when you're still dealing with so many other, you know, big challenges. So, yeah, it was a day. I think we were able to do a lot of things last night through the night in terms of preparing, you know, letting water out of dams to take pressure off rivers. So a lot of those kind of things were done. And then I must say, you know, the volunteer organizations, the NGOs came in, and they've always just been worth their weight in gold. So it's probably, you know, it is a big challenge, but I think everybody has risen to it, and that we're very thankful for.
Were enough schools closed? What I mean by that, not all of schools were closed in the Western Cape. Some were allowed to close. Was that enough to assist your efforts?
Absolutely. I think, you know, closing schools is always a last resort for the education department, but this is the third time that I'm aware of since 2017 that we've decided to close schools. And it was taken, the decision was taken, you know, looking at the risk. And we looked at what the weather was going to do, where the biggest risk areas were. And the education department decided to close the schools, you know, according to where the worst storms are going to be. And that worked quite well. They, you know, they've decided to open the metro area tomorrow. But in the Overberg and in the Cape Winelands, there's still some areas. You know, you've got to realize that a lot of those schools are in, you know, rural areas, and people have to travel on, you know, roads, farm roads, etc., to get there. So it's not only the school that is at risk, but it's also the travel to and from. So where today was good for us in the metro area was that it allowed the roads to be open, which meant, number one, less traffic, and number two, an easier route for emergency services, and that helped quite a lot.
You know, have we learned anything this time around? Is there anything we can improve on with what we've seen?
Yeah, I think we can always improve. You know, I can speak from a disaster response perspective.
Yeah.
And I think there are things, you know. I mean, we can look at how quickly you get to people that are victims. You can look at where victims are located, and you can do something. When we met the first time on Friday, you know, I said to the team, I don't want anybody to wait for us. You know, we need to be there when they need us. And, you know, people that wait for us in places, we have to be honest about that. And, you know, we can work on that. You know, we have to make basic goals for ourselves in disasters like this and try and reach them, because at the end of the day, people benefit from that.
I got the impression, just from hearing different people, not necessarily from the disaster's point of view, but different officials speaking, that there wasn't one central point where people can call and say, well, I'm in trouble here. So people were almost, in a way, asked to speak to their local authorities. Was that a good strategy from where you stand, or that should be something that we should be looking back at?
Yeah, I think it's something we can look at, definitely. But I think also, you know, you've got to realize that within any big system, and I mean, this was a huge area, it still is, you've got to understand that on your day-to-day kind of emergencies, you've got to speak to your local resource, your local emergency service. So it's really difficult to change that from, you know, from your daily kind of emergencies to a major one, if that makes any sense. And so I think that is something that we can definitely look at. I think the country, honestly, from my perspective, needs a national emergency number.
Yeah.
I think we've needed that for a very long time.
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, where people can clearly, you know, just hit key, like we see in America, you know, with the 911 kind of approach, and then that will get you to your closest service. And unfortunately, we're not there yet. So that's really something we need to work towards.
What are we anticipating tomorrow would look like?
So tomorrow's today was obviously a level 8. The weather predictions have been very consistent. So tomorrow we're looking at a level 4. So that's better, but it's still a lot of rain and it's still on saturated ground. So we can't take our eye off the target just yet. I think we've got to go through tomorrow. Saturday looks a lot better. And there is some rain predicted for next week, but we haven't really got the kind of accurate predictions which we work on from a disaster perspective as yet. You know, we really have to be a lot more kind of accurate when it comes to how do we respond from a disaster perspective than your normal kind of weather report or weather prediction. So, yes, I think we'll have some time over the weekend just to see where we stand, and then we can go into next week.
Have we managed to give shelter to everyone who needed it, all those that we know needed it?
Yeah, so I know that we have a group which we call a cluster which deals with that. And today the reports came back looking very positive in terms of that. I think, you know, there's also a dynamic to it, and that is that a lot of people, when they are affected, don't want to go to shelters. They rather want to go to friends, or they want to stay with family, or even just try and get a temporary shelter where they're staying, because unfortunately, you know, they don't want to lose the ground that they're on. And those are dynamics we have to accept. You know, it's not something that we can just look past. So as far as the people requiring shelter, this afternoon we assisted, there was assistance again to provide extra shelter. So, you know, you're talking about thousands of people. You're talking about approximately 15,000 people. In fact, we've heard, you know, that's displaced. There was more than 70,000 people affected. So, you know, to get all those people in shelter and to record all that is almost an impossibility.
Really appreciate you giving us your time. Colin Dana, Western Cape, head of disaster. Really, really thank you so much for that update as we look to what will be happening tomorrow and the coming days. Unfortunately, yes, tomorrow level 4 is what we're looking at. So persistent rains, unfortunately. And, you know, we just cross our fingers that no more people are affected by this rain in the way that we've watched and seen it happen.
Point of View
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.
086-000-00959. You can also send those voice notes on 063-688-0959. I did have something that I want to mention to you, which is some bad news, unfortunately, particularly for those who are soccer fans. Unfortunately, the sad news coming through that Orlando Pirates has sent its condolences to the family of the legend Skrima Shabalala. You may remember him, Stan Skrima Shabalala, who passed away. So our condolences go to his family, colleagues, friends, all of those who knew him. So yeah, that's the sad news coming through this evening. Let me go to Ntate Selby. Good evening and welcome, Ntate Selby.
Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ntate Selby?
I'm just doing measure.
Excellent.
No, that is sad news.
Yeah, it is sad.
How about Skrima?
Yeah, it's very, very sad.
I know, that's one... He liked soccer, that
yeah.
Yeah, no, I whole. I can hope that Sundown sees you are faint.
And that beautiful smile that the Selby, ne?
Yeah, no, Pamela, if only like PA.
Yes.
Last time the Google spokesperson Sabona Siri. And list ever in said it's a horror. Tower about South Africa, Barbona, but choose bar art and culture. I choose the musicians, the soccer players, heavily problemming. Janong Baba or Babo nor Baba Tusagar. No, this is lie. In China, by in said it's a who destroyer, banner, but very minister of art and culture. Banner, but very art and culture. ba ba tso shapa bona ba tene ba tseba gore gone le corruption e tsagetseng kana go ya COVID and bona ba kene ba tseba gore no re tlo expose corruption ena and then ba ba ne ba tswere mo obvious kiba ANC.
So obviously when Ntate Selby, you think all of this was orchestrated, all of this was planned, ba ne ba tseba gore go na le corruption.
Ba ne ba tseba gore corruption e etsagetse ka nako ya COVID. Then ba tseba ba fa position e ba re no re kene handle re tlo expose re tlo ba shapa ka yona ke re ba ba ganne ka ntho ele ka Home Affairs. And le bo Home Affairs o ne le taba tse ngata mo Home Affairs.
Ke a gutlwa Ntate Selby. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting view. Thank you so much, Ntate Selby, in Orange Farm. Let me take a quick break. And when I come back, Songe Zazibi, who is now the newly elected SCOPA chair, on the line with us. I'll talk to him after this.
Point of View with Phimelo Modine on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
Well, as I said, SCOPA, newly elected SCOPA chair, Songe Zazibi, is on the line with us. A very good evening, MP. Good evening and welcome. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening and thank you very much for having me on. It's good to talk to you again.
Huge responsibility. How do you feel?
It's a massive responsibility because the South African government is vast. Mm. Its government departments, I think they're 32 now. Mm-hmm. And there are also many, many, many state-owned entities as well as agencies that SCOPA works with, like the Auditor General, the Special Investigating Unit, and so on. So I am nervous, but at the same time, I'm really honored to be given the responsibility.
Mm. You know, as you said, there's a lot to be done. You're almost a bit of a watchdog, so to speak, and you'd need to navigate quite carefully. In your view, where would you have to start?
So I think, I mean, given that this is a new term,
yes,
I think the important thing is to find out, and we're already doing this with the previous chairperson of SCOPA, Deputy Minister Mkuleko Siyanda, to find out where things were left last time.
Mm-hmm.
Any work that is outstanding, mm-hmm. we obviously need to complete it. I know, for instance, that many of the reports that SCOPA had transmitted via the Speaker's office mm-hmm. into the presidency mm-hmm. never reached the presidency. So mm-hmm. we need to clean up all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be meeting the Auditor General, for instance, next week
mm-hmm.
To understand issues from the side, so that we can move forward in a methodical way rather than choosing a random way to go. There'll be other institutions that we meet as well, but we need to do a lay of the land and then craft an agenda that is going to tackle the most serious issues.
So, you know, technically this for me is pretty straightforward. You just have to get into the nitty-gritties of where things are going wrong, be proactive sometimes, and just make sure that everybody does what they have to do. Technically, I get that. But it's also a political job. You know, you're in parliament. You're in coalition arrangements. So are you not nervous about that element? And we've seen how parliamentarians have acted before. Sometimes protecting one another, that's going to be quite tricky.
Look, I think it's going to be less tricky now than it has been in the past. Because remember, the ANC used to have a significant majority. So on every committee that you would have in parliament, you would have the ANC having the majority of MPs in any event. That is not so now. Secondly, the SCOPA chairperson is not supposed to act as a dictator anyway. The MPs on many issues are supposed to work collegially. They're supposed to work as a team. They sometimes divide the work amongst themselves because, like I said earlier, the work is really vast. So I think we are going to enter, I'm hoping we're going to enter another era where SCOPA is more effective continuously than maybe it has been in the past.
You come into it's a new government, yes, but very things that were there before still remain. Things that concerned you when you addressed in your manifesto remain, corruption and the like. And so in as much as your SCOPA committee may collaborate very well, there are things that you may find and you are going to uncover that need you to sort of wag your finger a bit. And that's going to be challenging.
No, look, it's not going to be challenging at all, at least to apply that level of strident oversight. I think what's trickier is picking the right battles that are going to help to move the needle. Because there are simply too many things that go wrong in too many agencies and government departments and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The committee has to decide very carefully which examples are going to be more significant, lead to the biggest bang for buck, basically, for South African taxpayers.
Mm.
But I think it's also important that SCOPA recognizes instances where, you know, there are some remedial actions that have gone well.
Mm.
So it's not always about catching people, because if an agency or an SOE was berated a year ago, I think it's good for them to come back to SCOPA and say there were 10 issues raised by the committee. We've now addressed 6, and this is where we are with the other 4. I think those are good things, because that would also show the South African people that the system is working. When SCOPA does its work and government responds, there are good outcomes overall. So we need to balance things, and, you know, a little bit as we work.
Mm. The EFF opposed your election, and they were quite clear. It's not really personal. It's just that they don't like the principle of bringing someone in like yourself, who is not quite what they feel. You are not quite in a position, since you are part of the GNU. It's also interesting that you don't have a cabinet seat. But how do you respond to that?
No, look, I mean, I understand from their perspective that it's a principle decision.
Mm.
We don't believe that there is a conflict in my case, because we don't have a single person who is in the government executive. The executive is doing its own thing. And primarily, by the way, the role of SCOPA is not to oversee the ruling party. It is to oversee the executive.
Mm.
And the assumption, and on previous occasions, generally, the ministers that were in SCOPA also had members in government, and that was the ANC. The chair of SCOPA is not a dictator. The members of SCOPA are formidable people in their own right. They are very assertive and so on. I think the challenge of leadership here is to make sure that we can weld a team together that is able to cooperate on the most significant initiatives that we are doing, so that the South African people can see that MPs from right across the political spectrum are serious about fighting corruption, maladministration, waste, and so on.
Mammoth Tothaged ahead. Congratulations and all the best to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks very much,
Kumar. Thank you. Songezi Zazibi is a Rise Mzansi leader and obviously recently elected SCOPA chair, and this big, big job. We'll keep an eye on that story. And as and when things develop, I promise you we'll bring him back, because a lot is going to require for him to talk to us.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.